books, I'm going to read you one of my favorite verses out of one of my favorite books, Galatians 2:20. The message title tonight is No Longer I, Part 1. The message series I'm getting into, it's just going to be a 2-week series. I'm going to begin speaking about how our lives are to be lived to the tune of Christ, not to ourselves. We live in a nation that tells us that every single day in every single way it should be about me. It should be about myself. I want this. I don't understand why I can't do these things because it makes me feel good. But we recognize that as Christians, the word Christian is to be Christ-like. If you call yourself the word Christian, it's not because you bought the bracelet and got the t-shirt. It's because you profess Jesus with your mouth and accepted Him into your heart. And you're living a life that reflects the name that you call. If you call yourself the word Christian, you've leveled a lofty title for yourself. A title that's not to be taken lightly. A title that's to be noticed and to be respected. To say that you're like Jesus. Are you? Are you really? Am I really? Are we really like Him? If not, we default on the name Christian. It's thrown around. What are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. Really? Are you like Jesus? I just heard you yesterday saying the F-bomb. I heard you yesterday saying these dirty jokes. I heard you yesterday talking about what you did with this person. Really? Are you? Are you? I know it's kind of in your face. I know it's kind of, and for guys who are here as guests tonight, it might be a little bit of a change up. I don't know. I kind of just bring it. I just go for it. I'm one of those people that when I became a Christian at 16 years old in high school, they told me, go preach the gospel, and I just did it. I just didn't think about it anymore. It was as simple as you open up your mouth and speak, and I'm so thankful that you have our youth ministry that's doing it. Because there's so many churches in this county who do not want to stand up. And I've been convinced, people say, well, John, it's not nice to say about the state of Blount County. Well, I've got news for you. Blount County is in a dark place right now. Blount County might not look good, but I've got news for you. I believe revival's coming. I've been telling everybody, you know when you go outside and you smell right before it rains? I think that's where we're at. We're at the place in Blount County when they say things are bad. Only 4% of this generation is Christian. I say, no, revival's coming. I can just smell it. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Getting to the place to where we're so like Christ. You see, there's a precursor to these things I just talked about. We've got to be holy. We've got to be like Jesus. Galatians 2:20. Now, if I tried to do it off memory and if I missed the word, I would just feel bad because I'm pretty sure someone would be like, John, you didn't do it. But we're going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Really enjoy this translation. A New Living Translation, Galatians 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. I'm going to read that one more time. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Now, one more scripture. The book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 and 11. Just like 20 pages over. It says this, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. Tonight, I'm going to talk about no longer I. Tonight I'm going to talk about a life that holds to the tune, but it's no longer I who live, but Jesus who lives within me. Now you see, Christian life, first and foremost, I'm going to let you know this. Christian life is not something that's boring. It's not something that's not fun. I can tell you it's a lot funner to be in love with Jesus and living life free than sitting drunk wanting to kill yourself. It's a lot better. People think that it's just so terrible. I'm like, do you know how much funner it is to live life free, to live life joyfully? But you see, there's one part about being a Christian that a lot of people, it's the issue a lot of people have with it. They call it the paradox of Christianity. To be a Christian, you must let go of your life to receive life. To be a Christian, you let go of what you previously called your existence, that shady, shaky, dirty little thing you thought was your life, and you get true life if you put on Jesus Christ. We're going to talk tonight about putting on Jesus, about letting go of ourselves, and so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. We say the statement, I want to be confused for Jesus. I think there was a song like that, wasn't it? I don't know. I just want to be confused for Jesus. I want someone to confuse me for Jesus. But for that to happen, you've got to decrease and decrease and decrease and let Him increase and increase and increase. That's John 3:30. We're going to talk about that later. People say a lot of things about this nation. You go to other countries, and I've been to other countries, and the reflection of this nation is something of self-consumedness. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, to get my share of the world, to get what I want. And, you know, I think back to me growing up, and I'd get mad at my mom if I didn't get what I wanted. I was an only child, so I got spoiled really bad. I would want stuff from my mom. Mom, give me this. No, please. No, please. Okay. You know, I feel kind of bad. Mom spoiled me. Great-grandparents spoiled me. Voices from heaven. Yes, Holy Spirit. He comes in the form of Hillsong. No, I'm just kidding. But it was all about me, you know, and I wanted stuff for myself. And it's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to make life about you. It's very easy to let life become centered upon yourself. But tonight I'm going to present you a call to be like Jesus, not yourself. Tonight I'm going to present you a call to be a generation who looks like Jesus. Who when you walk into your schools, they see Jesus Christ. They don't see another student. Who when you walk into Walmart, people stop and look at you because there's something different about you. We talk about that in the church, but that will only come at the point that we're like Christ. And to only get to that point to become like Christ, we've got to let go of ourselves. That's the first step. I've got to learn to let go of me. I've got to learn to let go of this existence that I once held so dear. You see, I was 16 and I thought I had it all. I thought I had everything. I was this crazy wild kid that thought I had everything going for me. But in the middle of it, I was broken, alone, wanted to die. Had no hope in my life until I met this guy named Christ. And He showed me what real life was all about. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. I'm going to go through several scriptures tonight. There's only one more after this. So don't worry. We're going to flip back to the Galatians and Colossians as we go. Don't worry. You see, we can never have the fullness of Christ as long as we're in control. You see, I talked about wanting to be like Jesus. You want to see Blount County changed? You want to see a radical county shaking, Tennessee shaking, the United States shaking, revival? It's going to happen at the point that we're like Him. It's going to happen at the point of we let go of ourselves and lay hold of Christ and let Him become our identity. It's not going to happen if we go to the next cool youth conference. It's not going to happen if we get Xboxes and flat screens. Do you see this youth room, guys? And I've told you this 50 times. I make it bland because we're about Christ. We're about His presence. When we get to the place that we pursue His presence above any other thing and become like Him, that's the place it happens. It's not going to happen when we go to these next things. And those, I'm not saying conferences aren't bad. They're good things. We go to them. They're uplifting. They give us just new ideas, new oomph at points in times. Those are good. But I'm saying that's not our foundation. Our foundation is Jesus. And I want to be like my foundation. I want to look like my Jesus. I want to talk like my Jesus. I want to be Christian. Christ-like. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Now this is a hard word if you really read this. Then Jesus said to my disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And would you guys mind to shut those doors? I'm sorry, if it gets a little bit hot in here, you guys, one of you can turn down the air conditioner, just the button on the left turns it down. They dismiss a little bit earlier, the adults do than us, and so they get out in the hall and start talking, and it's kind of frustrating. You hear like, bah, 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 we're going to eat on Sunday. It's like, we're having church. Come on now. I want you to notice what the scripture says. It is a very hard thing to perceive. But to be a Christian, you must let go of your selfish ways, take up a cross and follow me. Does anyone know what a cross is? It's an instrument of death. I used to joke with people, you know, especially someone who I knew had just got a cross necklace. I'd go up to them and I'd say, nice execution device. They'd go, what? I'd say, dude, I'm getting my electric chair one next week. But I'm just kidding. That's what it was. And it's all right to have a cross. Charlie's got one. That's fine. We show that because we're representing our Jesus. That's fine. But that was an instrument of death. And Jesus says, if you want to come follow me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. Representing to say, you've got to take up the end of yourself and follow me. Because if you want life, if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. What he's saying there is he's saying, if you want to follow me and you try to hold on to you, if you try to hold on to yourself, if you don't let go of your life and put it in my hands, you're going to lose it. You're not going to get life. But if you would just let go. Anyone know the song, Jesus Take the Wheel?
Yes. Yes.
We're all like, yeah, never my fault. Okay. The song's silly. But I mean, at the same time, if you take that to application of not, Jesus, I don't feel like driving, take the wheel. Boom, you crash. Okay. It's not going to work. But that literal, take that simple concept that's been ingrained into our iPods and ingrained into our lives in the last couple of years because we hear it so much. Jesus, take the wheel. Does he really have hold of your will of your life? Does he really have hold of who you are? Does he have your life and do you have his life in you? You see, it's kind of simple. You let go of your life, you give it to him, and he gives you his life and puts it in you. As we take up our crosses and follow him. You see, a cross carrier lives his Christ. Wow. Oh, I got tongue tied there. To be a Christ follower, we've got to be a cross carrier. We miss that. We want church, and I'm sick and tired of stupid people on the television telling people that if you become a Christian, you're going to get money. You're going to get happiness. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's not what it's about. Becoming a Christian is not putting your money in the plate and getting the bins. It's about living your life and dying to yourself, letting go of your selfish ways, and following after Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. If you want to be a Christ follower, you've got to be a cross carrier. You've got to be someone who says, Jesus, it's no longer I who live, but Christ, you live within me. You want to change your world, let go of yourself. Step off the controls of your life and let Jesus step in and take control. And God's going to use you to change your school. God's going to use you to change your world. God's going to use you to change your family. You know? We're Pentecostal here. It's okay. Give me some. Okay. How do you recover from that one? It's okay. You caught me off guard. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we hear, we say, boom shakalaka. Someone gets fired up, booyakasha. Okay? We're Pentecostal. We can do that. Okay? You guys are AG. We say amen. Some people, you get in church, you say amen. They have a heart attack. Dear God. No. But we get a little bit loud around here, so it's okay. But stepping back to what I was saying. That's my friend John back there. He's awesome. To be a person who follows after Jesus Christ, to be a cross follower, we must be a cross carrier. We must be someone who say, Jesus, it's no longer I. The quintessential foundation of Christian life is composed in those words right there. Matthew 16, you want to know the essence of Christianity? Let go of your selfish ways and pick up a cross. Amen. It's a scary thing sometimes. It is a scary thing to not be in control. I had a situation last night that I had an attack on my body and I felt out of control and it scared me half to death. It's scary being out of control and getting in someone's car for the first time you've never rode with. It's a scary thing because you're not comfortable riding with them. You're not used to it. It's a scary thing being out of control. But can I tell you something? It's a scary thing to let Jesus have your all. But do you need to understand something? If you're submitted to Christ in 90% of your life, but you hold back 10, you're not submitted to him. You need to be completely sold out, sold into who he is. I know it's scary to let go, but I'm going to tell you, the minute you decide to step back and let Jesus catch you, you're going to feel arms on your back. He's going to hold you up and he's going to give you new life. It's a scary thing to let go of ourselves at points in time. It's a scary thing to say, well, I've done this for so long. I've been this way for so long. I don't know how it's going to work, Jesus. I don't know. You tell me to let go of my selfish ways, to quit caring about my life and start focusing on you, Jesus. It's scary. It is. But you know what? Christ is sitting there saying, if you just let go, I'll give you life. For if you try to hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you let go, you will gain it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? We should be a generation of people who find ourselves in the arms of Christ, who live in his life, who the words upon our lips when we walk into our schools is, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. It's no longer me who's in charge. It's Jesus. Jesus is the captain. He's the leader. He's my master. I almost wanted to teach tonight about Christ being our master. But the Holy Spirit put me on this. I'm going to put that in there for free. Luke 5:5. Jesus is addressed as master. My question is not, do you have the t-shirt or do you say a prayer one time? No, is Christ your master? Does he have your everything? Has he got your all? If you want to live a life of no longer I, you've got to let go of I and put it into his hands. That's where we're at. we must let go. And in the situation I talked about last night, and you know God will speak to you through many things, guys. He's going to speak to you through His Word. You want to hear the voice of God? Pick up this Word right here. He wants to talk to you. He's got some things sitting waiting for you to hear. You want to hear His presence. People think prayer is we sit and simply talk to the heavens. No, God wants to speak back to you. God is still speaking and alive today. Doesn't matter what people might say. No, Jesus Christ is alive. You go to Jesus' grave, you're going to find it empty because my God is alive. I can take you and show you where the other gods in the world is sitting, where their bones may rest, but my Jesus is alive. We've got a God that's alive. We need to start acting like it. Amen. We need to recognize that in our lives. But we also, last night, I'm getting back to what I was saying. Last night I sat there, and, you know, God speaks to us through so many things. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His voice. You know, you'll have things happen in your life and you feel God speaking to you through it. You'll have something happen and it's like, my God, you just spoke to me. And as I sat there, and I'm, you know, guys can make fun of me, but I'm not going to go in depth about what happened last night. We're still trying to figure out what it was. But I lost control. I was convulsing and stuff. And my mom walked up to me and it blew my mind. She goes, John, just let go. And I've been praying. I said, God, let this stop. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. You're victorious over anything in this world. And my mom walks up and says, just let go. And I was like, God, what? Did you just speak to me? And through this entire day, these words just kept hitting me. Just let go. Just let go. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be like Christ, you must let Him have your everything. We try to hold on to the little things, and that was a word for me. I'm still trying to seek this out, but I need to let go more. I'm not to be in control. He is to be in control. He is my master. I don't have a voice. When He speaks, I say yes. I just need to let go. Guys, if you're holding on to something back from Jesus, and you know what it is if I'm talking to you right now, that little thing that you've held back in your heart that you're not comfortable with letting Him have, if you're going to be like Jesus and you're going to be completely surrendered, you've got to let go of it. And it's scary to do that. But the minute that you decide to let go, He's going to catch you in His arms. And you're going to find out that the thing that you thought you wanted to hold on to, He's got something way better than what you were holding on to. He's got freedom for you. That one little thing. We got to give Him our everything. We must be completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. It's not saying a prayer alone that saves us. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, we must profess with our mouth and believe in our heart. You've got to profess what you've believed. We must activate these things. It's time that our generation lets go of ourself and focuses in on Christ. If you got your Bible still out, this is where we flip back to Colossians. You see, when we let go of ourself, we let go of ourself, that is the point in which a time we can accept His life. You see, I want you to imagine right now that if yourself was this t-shirt that you had on. You see, I got thinking about this today, and you might think this is going to be a little illustration, but if you do, it's okay, we're still friends. By the way, I want to say this with you, really quick. Let go. On the count of three, we're going to say it. 1, 2, 3. Let go. One more time. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. That's what we're going to do. We're letting go to let Christ take control. That almost rhymed. We're letting go to let Christ take control. We're giving Him our everything, our every single bit of our existence. And at the point in time in which we let ourselves go, there's something essential we next do. We put on Christ. You let go of your nature, you put on Christ's nature. You let go of the things that once bound you down and had you in bondage and had you in addiction. And at the point in time in which you let go of those things, you put on Christ in those places. You position yourself in areas and you put on Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to the Colossians, it's got a lot more than that initial part. I'm going to read this whole little bit. Colossians 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Freeze right there. That's your old nature. That's a life about you. That's a life about yourself. Right there, when you let go, this is what we do. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Well, right there's cussing in the Bible, by the way, guys.
It's not in the Bible.
Yeah, it is right there. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. I'm going to say that last line again. Christ is all that matters. That's beautiful, isn't it? We have this part and it says, put these things off. Take off that old existence. Throw it aside. We need to get the mentality of sin that it's not some t-shirt that we just simply take off and put it back on when it's comfortable. No, you take those things and you throw them out of your life utterly. You know the word for Satan? The word, you know the story, it was said Satan was cast out. The word picture behind that is the act of ripping someone up by their clothes and utterly throwing them down. I heard a man, a preacher I really like, says, we don't treat Satan in sin like your mother-in-law. No, you rip him up like an unwanted guest and you throw him out of your life. We got to be uncomfortable with these things and completely centered in on Christ. We let go of our old nature. We say, it's no longer I. It's not about myself. It's not about what I want, Jesus. It's about you. I'm going to put on you, Christ, you're all that matters. I wish we had a group of people that would just say, Christ, you're all that matters. My friends might make fun of me, but Christ, you're all that matters. It might be uncomfortable in my school when I get made fun of, but Jesus, you're all that matters. And when my family persecutes me and says, you're a fake, you're a joke, no, Christ, you're all that matters. Christ, you're all that matters. That is a beautiful statement. You see, I commonly think it that we must put everything aside. You see, we've got the part where we let go of ourselves, and now this time is where we put on Jesus. You want to know how you put on Jesus? I was sitting there thinking today, and I was like, Jesus, the words here is to put you on. It's kind of representative of clothing. And there's several world pictures about, you know, I've heard a preacher preach about getting a new wardrobe, all that stuff like that. But I was sitting there thinking, Jesus, how do I put you on? Jesus, if this dirty old clothes was like my old nature and I've cast it utterly aside, how do I put you on? And I got thinking, you know, Jesus isn't like one of your friends that you just quit talking to one day and talk to him the next. You know what we say when we become Christians? It's covenant. Married people in here, got your rings on? Exactly. You got to see them. When you have on that ring, you're making a statement to the world, I'm in covenant with my spouse. I'm in covenant with the person that I love. You see, it is my hope and prayer that we have a generation of people who say we're in covenant with Jesus. We're in covenant with the Lord. We're not going to put Him on and take Him off like a shirt. No, I'm going to put on Jesus and I'm going to put Him on like a wedding band. I'm not going to take it off when my hands get dirty. I'm not going to take it off when things get rough. I'm going to keep you on, Jesus. I'm in covenant with you. I love you. I live for you. You're my Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my all in all, my rock and my sound and my song. You're it. You're my all. I live for you every day. That's the kind of mentality. We put on Jesus. We lay hold of Him. We put Him upon our life and we do not let Him go. There's a song I love, and you know it, Rick Pino, Come and Awaken Love, Come and Awaken Love. And it says, when I find Him, I won't let Him go. It's talking about Song of Solomon. And some of those words in there is, when I find Him, I'm not going to let Him go. The girl talking about her spouse, when I find Him, I'm not going to let Him go. So we've got the part where we let go of self, we put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? You start doing things that reflect His nature. You start every single day, John 3:30. This is right here. You want Christ on? This is it right here. I wish, I'm always like, I want to quote stuff off my mind, but I'd just rather read it than say it, because this is God's words. John 3:30. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That is getting hot in here, isn't it? Yeah. I'm cooking. Yeah. Take it down as much as you want it to go. We might, if you guys, you could open up that back door and maybe get some air in here. Yeah, that'd be, this side doors are the ones that usually get loud. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Now I'm going to try this and see how it works. Let's say it together. He must become greater and greater, and we must become less and less. That is the quintessential thing of putting on Jesus. Every single day you say, Jesus, I'm going to live like you. Being a Christian is a decision that you make every single day when you get out of bed. You say, today I will become less and less. Today I will let you become greater and greater in my life. Jesus, these things don't reflect. Now we read the Colossians part to show you things that aren't of His nature. So we've got greed, envy, lust, idolatry, all those things that don't reflect His nature. Start putting on things that do reflect Him. Say, Jesus, I used to watch a television show that cursed Your name. I'm going to take that time and I'm going to pray. Jesus, I used to in school sit and talk about dirty jokes. I'm going to get my Bible out and read. By the way, guys, you can read your Bibles in your school. You can have prayer meetings in your school. At lunchtime, you could preach the gospel at your lunch table and they cannot stop you. And if they try to, we have a lawyer who sues schools like that and we will call him. Because you have your rights. If they have the rights to take the Ten Commandments out of courthouses, we have the rights to stand up and speak it. And that's my mindset on it. And that's all she wrote right there.
Get you some.
Get me some. I'm excited. These kids, and I'm not trying to brag on, they've been having prayer meetings at Wingwatt High School every morning. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's on it. You know, that's just part of it. But guys, Cedar Point kids, you can speak about your faith and no one can stop you but yourself.
Boom, shakalaka.
It's time that we speak out. Christ should be all that mattered. He's not a t-shirt to be taken on and off, but He's a mark of covenant. He's something to hold on to. You need to put on Jesus every single day and say, I'm going to become less and less Jesus. You're going to become greater and greater in me. You're going to become greater and greater in me. And get into the final thing where no longer I comes into play. So you've got the fact that you're to let go of self. You have the fact that you're to put on Christ. You're to put on prayer. You're to put on worship. You're to put on fasting. You're to put on the Word. You're to put off the things that don't reflect His kingdom. Put this Bible on. Speak to God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's got a conversation waiting for you if you want to speak to Him. Be in fasting. Be in prayer. That's how you put on Christ. You say no to things that aren't holy and say yes to things that are. And the final part is when you let go of self, when you put on Christ, you start getting to the place of no longer I. You start getting to the place to where it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Do you hear those words? I get emotional about this because this is where I want to be, guys. And every single day, I'm never going to get to that. Every day I pursue after Him, and one day though, I'm going to get to meet Him. You know, used to when I first became a Christian, I didn't think much about the day that I would pass into eternity and get to meet Jesus face to face. But boy, it's going to be a beautiful day when I do. I think about Galatians 2:20. For my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. It is our hearts, it should be our hearts beat, our hearts yearning that every single day it becomes no longer I. Every day it's Jesus, no longer I, but You. Jesus, no longer me, no longer self, but Your presence. No longer me. The things that I were doing that weren't reflecting You, I let go of and I pick up You. No longer I, no longer I, no longer me. Jesus, it's You. This life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what we do it by, guys. We put on Jesus every day by faith in Him. You know, He loved you and He gave Himself just for you. For you. For you. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's personal. Guys, as Christians, our lives should be over. I'm a dead man walking tonight. The thing that you see here should be over. John Campbell, I should be put to death. Now, I know that seems kind of weird. I'm going to explain it real quick and we're going to be finished. At the point in time in which we let go of ourselves, we put on Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Every day as we become less and less and He becomes more and more, our identity is Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:1 and 2 as I'm in closing. Just leave it there. Wait a minute. I had a brain fart right there. Never mind that. Never mind the 2 Corinthians part. Let's go ahead and stand up as we get ready to be dismissed tonight. Just hold off. We don't have time. I'm sorry, man. Sorry. What do we got to get? No. tonight. The scripture I was hunting for, I couldn't exactly remember where it was at, but it says, and now Christ, who is your life, who is the essence of who you become. You see, as we decide to make the decision to let go of ourselves, to pick up Jesus Christ, we get to the place of no longer I. That should be your prayer, Jesus. No longer I who live, but Jesus who lives within me. You want to see your county change, your church change, your school change, your friends change, your family change? No longer I. You are the only Jesus that people sometimes will ever see. Let's put Him on. Let's look like Him. Let's live our lives to the tune of Christ and not the tune of ourselves. No longer I. It's time that Jesus gets the throne of our lives. I'm going to get you to say that with me. I'm going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. No longer I. One more time. No longer I. Christ reigns in this room.